DJW Mobile.
KO4XJet.
I didn't expect it to be so chilly out here this morning.
I said it was supposed to be cold, but it's supposed to warm up a pretty good bit today.
I mean, it's supposed to warm up, so not to worry about it. You having a good start to the week?
How about you?
This morning, it's going to take me all morning to get it knocked out. But after that, I'll be, you know, free to do what I want, make some more contacts over in Europe.
Looks like it'll be a nice day to go fly the drone or plane also.
Yeah, could do that too. Might do that. That would be a good idea. I've already got the airplanes downstairs from the last time I went flying, didn't put them back up. Yeah, because I didn't use the batteries a lot, so that would be an easy thing to go do. You want to take a break and go to the airfield? I'll do that for you. That's about the second worst thing you can have to do.
Yeah, roger that. But by the way, thanks for calling the net last night, last minute.
VHF propagation last night wasn't that good. I was amazed the guy from Gastonia got in, but he has a special setup.
Amazing, and I was listening, and sometimes I could hear, and sometimes I couldn't. It was just in and out.
But that's how VHF works, all right? Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. That should be the first thing people think about when, typically, it's the last thing they think about when they can't communicate as good as they could before.
Last night, because before the net started, I tried to check into the SIDS net several times and wasn't even breaking the squelch at 50 watts. And I mean, I'm beam aimed right at them.
Easy for me to get into either. That one and the other one, 6600 net. That's hard for me too, Mount Mitchell. I have to give it all I got. I'm going to put on the best antenna I got and put as much power into it as I can to get to either one of those two.
No trouble hitting a 610 or the 6.4 machine. I can usually walk out on the porch and do it with a HT.
Well, the magnitude of how much VHF fluctuates. It doesn't do it that often, but when it does do it, it does it a lot. Like when I'm sitting over there at Zaxby's, I can roll a foot. I can release the brake on the car, roll a foot, and be talking to somebody, and they're totally gone, completely. Not even a hint of a sign. Let off the brake and roll forward another foot, and they're full scale, full quieting.
It was, but I mean, it was just bad up at the house last night. I mean, even Sid was saying something about it on his net. He was having trouble.
For him getting into our net, normally he's not full scale and full quieting, but normally he's 100% readable, easy to read. Last night it wasn't so easy.
Appreciate you just doing that at the last minute. I was hoping it would clear up, but it just never did.
And you know, Glenn, it's cold this morning, a lot colder than it was yesterday. So that tells you it's that the change in weather, not weather that has changed, but the actual process of changing is the process that messes up VHF. Once it's changed, it's okay. But while it's in the process of changing, that's when it disrupts everything.
I mean, it's just amazing that it wiped out everything last night. I mean, sometimes I can hear no problem, and then it gets scratchy, and then it was just gone. I mean, I couldn't even hear nothing.
Peter repeater down in the valley over there on the other side of, on your side of the mountains? Are there any 2-meter repeaters over there?
The 6.4 machine is the closest thing to me on the other side, on my side of the mountain.
I suppose you don't have direct line of sight to it.
I hadn't looked to see what is between me and it, but I would assume no, I don't have direct line of sight, but not way off either, like I am to the 6.10.
Distance does make a little bit of difference, but nowhere near as much difference as stuff that blocks your line of sight, like dirt. That's the biggest inhibitor of being able to go a long way on VHF. If you got line of sight, you can go all the way out to the satellites that are, you know, in synchronous orbit. And there's 600 miles out there. You can get 600 miles on VHF if you got direct line of sight.
I know another guy I talked to, Colin, he's big into VHF, and he's been showed me the propagation down on the equator. They're making 2,300, 3,300 mile VHF contacts.
No, that's unless they're mounting off of something. We had a guy that lived around here that had almost worked all countries on UHF, 70 centimeters. He also was the one that did moon bounce. He also had an array of like 13 or 15 element 70 centimeter Yagis that were pointed at the moon and ran full legal limit, 1,500 watts on 70 centimeters across all those Yagis phase, and sent CW to the moon, and it'd come back a few seconds later. It bounced a signal off the moon and come back in a few seconds. But that was a big, huge array that he built of Yagis all pointed, you know, wherever he wanted to point them. And he had nearly worked all countries on 70 centimeters. That is an accomplishment. Doing that on 20 meters, yeah. 40 meters, yeah. 15 meters, yeah, okay. 70 centimeters, no. I don't see how he did that.
That's impressive to do something like that on 70 centimeters.
He also knocked a few of our radio control airplanes out of the sky. When the Blue Ridge Airplane Club first opened up, it was over at Lake Robinson. He lived on Lake Robinson. And there was a ham radio operator that lived up on top of a hill that everybody knew about. And every now and then, our planes would go crazy. And it was usually when it was a loud airplane. And we all surmised it was him that was doing that. And then after I became a ham radio operator, I learned about Ed and where he lived and what kind of stuff he did. And, yep, put a check mark in that box.
Well, that's one way to get rid of that.
Ducky, so that's how we got rid of that. The airplane flyers got rid of that. He got rid of the airplanes, but we also got rid of the airplane destroyer by sending him back to Kentucky.
It is amazing what people get bent out of shape about over certain things.
Getting only worse instead of better. I don't know how we're going to change that trend.
But less and less human interaction that we have, I think it's just going to get worse because you don't learn how to interact with people and deal with it.
Right there. I remember growing up and, you know, being introduced into the world when, you know, I was old enough to go out and make friends with people and not locking car doors and not locking the house and, you know, being friends with your neighbors and kids respecting the adult neighbors and doing what they said, right? I remember those times, very, very different times, and a lot of these problems like this didn't even exist back then. They were totally gone because somebody had already gone through this and corrected that situation, but somebody dropped the ball. Now we're going back the other way.
I didn't have to worry about locking the doors. You knew all the neighbors, and they knew you, and if the kids in the neighborhood got out of line, all the parents were there to corral them and put them back in their place. You didn't worry about it. Nowadays, you have to worry about the neighbors taking them out back and putting them in a hole.
I remember one of the kids saying that parent popped me or something like that to the other parent. The other parent looked at him and said, "Thank you, I appreciate that," right? And told the kid, "That's what you deserve. That's what you get when you do that." And that's a learning experience that you don't lose. But nowadays, you'd lose your house if you did that. People would sue crazy. They'd see you. It's a totally different world.
Yes, it is. But with that, Dave, I'm going to have to say 7-3s. I'm pulling up to my next stop. Good to talk to you this morning. And again, thank you for covering for me last night. KO4 HKX, and I'll be clear. 7-3s.
All right, Patrick. Have a good day. Maybe I'll talk to you. I got a lot of errands to run. Maybe I'll see you out here again. KO4 HKX, W4 DJW Mobile.